Well, good morning. Welcome to the broadcast today. My name is Bill Young, and you're listening to Faith is a Lifestyle. This week, we're continuing our study called Healing and Health, Living Long and Living Strong. So far, we've studied the redemptive work of Christ and looked at four Hebrew words in great detail. Isaiah chapter 53, the great redemptive chapter of the Bible, lets us know that Jesus was not just our sin bearer on the cross, but he also bore our sickness and carried our pains. We looked at the unscriptural and erroneous concept of God being glorified in sickness. If sickness and disease brought glory to God, then the scriptures would tell us such. But we saw that in fact they do not. In fact, we see just the opposite, that God gets glory, the Greek word doxa, which means praise, honor, and worship, when the sick are healed. We also looked at Paul's thorn and realized that he was not sick, but rather he had a messenger of Satan that was buffeting him. We also saw what really happened to Job. God was in fact not Job's problem, but rather the answer to his problem and his deliverance. For the last couple weeks, we've been looking at how our own actions can impact our healing and our health. Specifically, last week, we looked at some destructive habits. The scripture warns us to flee fornication, sex outside the marriage covenant. Well, there are also other things that you can get involved in if you allow your flesh to take control in your life. Now, let's look again at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8. We'll begin with verse 16. It says, "Now, when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah or Esaias the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses." The redemptive work of Christ is the basis for healing and health. Matthew understood this as in his words are indeed an inspired translation of Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. Peter also understood this as he wrote his epistle and declared in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, when he said, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." Peter, looking back at the cross, declared that by the stripes that Jesus bore, we were, past tense, healed. The redemptive work of Christ is the basis for healing of the physical body. All throughout the scripture, we see evidence in abundance that healing of the physical body is part of God's redemptive plan. Now, today we're going to continue our look at what the scriptures have to say about our own actions and how they can impact our health. Now, remember, we looked at the admonition that Paul wrote to the church at Corinth about fornication or sex outside the marriage covenant. And that's a very powerful scripture that, man, we really need to get hold of in our culture. Now, our own actions can impact our health in many different ways. It's a real challenge for some of us because perhaps we were never taught these things, or maybe we picked up some bad habits along the way in life. Now, we can all make necessary adjustments and begin to master our flesh. If you struggled in some of these areas, God wants to help you gain the victory. Just ask Him to help you overcome in these areas. You know, there are basically three things that we have to overcome in life: the world, the devil, and the flesh. We overcome the world by our faith, we overcome the devil by the Word of God, and we overcome the flesh by the Spirit. Spending time in God's Word on a daily basis and meditating on the Word will help you tremendously in overcoming the flesh. Remember, David said at one point, "Thy word, O Lord, have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee." So how did he live and walk free from sin? By hiding God's word in his heart. And if there ever was a guy who blew it sexually, it was David. We're all aware of that. But yet he still considered, other than Jesus, Israel's greatest king. Now, God wants to help you gain the victory. By feeding our spirit and meditating on God's word, we can win the battle. I heard a minister say years ago that we feed our bodies 3 hot meals a day and feed our spirit 1 cold snack a week, and we wonder why we have no power. It is imperative that we have a balance in life. We need to do our part spiritually and also do our part in the natural realm so that we can live healthy and strong. Now, this week, I'm sitting in the MGCC studio with a good friend of mine. His name is Mr. Charles Heidelberg. We're going to talk about diet and exercise today. Now, you might not think that this subject is not too spiritual, but it does impact our lives on the earth. Many physical problems can be avoided by just exercising and eating right. Now, Charles was the strength and conditioning coach at Cathedral Prep for over 23 years. Many of you know Mr. Heidelberg just as Coach H. He has, over the years, helped many young men get physically conditioned for football, track, and many other sports. There are athletes that he has trained who are still involved in sports, playing in the NFL, playing in the college level in Division I and Division II. Coach Heidelberg is not only a great coach, but he's won many men to Jesus Christ through the arena of athletics. Charles is also our Director of Helps Ministries here at MGCC. Now, we're going to take a few moments and we're going to tap into his years of experience as a coach and as a man who loves God and gain some good insight as to how we can glorify God in our bodies. And I want to begin this second segment. We've switched microphones, so you may hear a little different sound, but there's some statistics that I read recently out of 2 newspapers. The first, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, that talks about how obesity has increased, that is, in the United States, just at an amazing level. And in fact, obesity has also increased with age, and that shows us that almost 18% of people age 18 to 29 and 30% of those age 50 to 59 are considered obese. I saw another statistic, and I'm reading from the New York Times, that the percentage of the population that was overweight in the United States in 1980 was 12%. In 2004, it was 32%. Now, that's not just overweight, but obese. And I want to share a little something before we get Coach Heidelberg in on the discussion. Several years ago, I noticed that I needed to lose some weight. I'd gotten up to about 240 pounds, and I knew I was getting too heavy. So I made a decision to change my diet and exercise. And over the next 3 months, I lost about 27 pounds. Within 6 months after that, I lost about another 10 pounds, and I've been able to keep the weight off for many, many years now. And there again, as I said earlier in the lesson, I don't let my body tell me what to eat or how much to eat anymore. I own my flesh, and I tell it what to do. It does not tell me what to do. Now, we're going to welcome to the broadcast right now Coach Charles Heidelberg, Brother Heidelberg, as many of you know him. And I just want to start by asking you some questions. I'm glad you're here this morning.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Okay. Now, and if you don't mind, I'll just refer to you as Coach Heidelberg. How's that?
Because very good.
A lot of young men know you as Coach H. What else can a person do from a physical standpoint to stay healthy or maintain their health?
Exercise and watch what you eat and how much you eat.
Okay, very good. Why is exercise so important?
Exercise is good for everyone. And when we do exercise, we use up energy that has been stored up from the food that we've been eating. However, unused energy turns into fat. That's right, fat. So exercise.
Okay. And that's probably the reason why so many Americans are overweight and obese. And it does have an impact on our health. Let me ask you another question. As far as what kind of exercise should people do?
It all depends on what the body parts you want to get into shape. It could be your upper body or your lower body, because there are so many exercises you can do for each body part. It depends on what you want to do with your body.
Okay. I noticed that a lot of people who get older in life develop a lot of problems because of weight, being overweight. And you find that they tend to be pretty sedentary. They don't get out and walk. They don't get up and do anything. They drive every place. You know, when your father was alive and my father and my grandfather, I mean, they did a lot of manual labor. You know, they walked to the grocery store. They walked to school. Now we have a whole generation of kids who want to jump in a car and go across the street, which makes no sense. But exercise is important. Now, Coach H, let me ask you another question. How important is diet in staying healthy?
For lunch, he had a Big Mac, French fries, and a Coke. For dinner, pizza and a pop. The second young man had a bowl of whole grain cereal and a glass of orange juice. For lunch, turkey on whole wheat bread and a bag of carrots and a bottle of water. Which one of these young men you think had the best meal?
Well, I'd say it was the second young man, although the first young man probably has a diet more akin to what people really eat, and that's not a good thing. You know, a few years ago, I had a conversation with a cardiologist from Hammett Medical Center, and this gentleman shared something with me that we all really know, but he sort of brought the point home. And this guy is in very high demand for doing open heart surgeries and heart procedures. And he made a statement to me. He said, if it wasn't for a couple fast food restaurant chains that he mentioned, and I won't mention them, but he said, if it weren't for A and B, I'd be out of business. And this is a guy who probably makes thousands of dollars for every heart procedure that he does, and he does many of them every day. So we certainly understand how important diet is. Now, along those lines, talking about diet, what kind of foods should we be eating on a regular basis?
I would like to start with protein, which is meat, poultry, fish, dried beans and peas, egg, cheese, and also carbohydrates, cereals, potatoes, dried beans, cornbread, sugar, and especially fruit and vegetables. My family and I take 8 different bottles of vitamins. Out of the 8, 5 of them are made from fruits and vegetables.
Now, the reason you take vitamins or supplements is because of the way our food is processed today, right?
Yes.
And what happens in processing food that causes the need for supplements or vitamins in addition to?
One thing that they do is they strip some of the lipids and sterols out of the products so that they would be able to gain more shelf life. And the purpose of that, I think, is because of greed, more money, at the sacrifice of good health to the American people.
Okay. And this is something that I know you are really serious about, because when you condition athletes to get ready for football season or track season, I know you don't just stress the building up of the body in certain parts of the body, but you also stress eating the right food.
Yes.
Because I guess if you eat the wrong diet, I don't care how great of an athlete you are, how conditioned you are physically, it's going to affect you, isn't it?
Yes, because you're going to perform with the quality of food that you've eaten, which is stored up energy.
Okay. All right. Now, what about all us folk who aren't athletes? We're just the moms and dads and ministers and people who work a job every day. Diet's still important, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So if you want to feel better, if you want to glorify God in your body, then it necessitates that you at least pay attention to what you eat.
Yes,
and what
absolutely.
You put in. Okay, that's good. Now, Coach H., I want to ask you another question, and this is something that really hits home for a lot of people because, as I said earlier in one of the lessons, many times people develop bad habits early in life, and they tend to stick with you, or maybe your family members had bad habits as far as diet and what they ate. What kind of foods really should we be staying away from?
Stay away from fried foods, meats high in fat, and canned foods.
Now, you know, for a lot of folks, that's like the staple of their diet.
Yes.
You know, fried chicken and fried this, fried that. And, you know, I know many people, they live on fried foods. In fact, you walk in the house and it smells like fried whatever, you know, because that smell is just there. But why are fried foods in particular bad for us physically?
Because of the oil that's it's being cooked in.
Okay.
Because most of it is like saturated fats.
Okay.
They're not good fats.
All right.
So that's one of the major problems.
Okay. And saturated fats tend to clog up the arteries?
Yes.
Okay. Cause heart attacks and strokes?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very unfortunate. And now, I'll tell you a little story. I remember when I was growing up, my dad grew up in the South, like a lot of people. And, you know, some of the things that he ate were kind of strange. I mean, my dad used to eat a lot of pig ears, pig's feet, and, you know, chitlins and things like that. Very high fat content. But I guess it tastes good to some people. Now, my mother was quite the opposite. I mean, she grew up, my grandfather had a garden out behind the house, and they ate a lot of fruits and vegetables. And I remember one time when I was a little boy, my grandmother, Corina, lived in East Orange, New Jersey, and we went back for family reunion, and they had all kind of meat on the table. They had raccoon, they had venison, they had everything you can think of, rabbit. And some of these foods were things that my mother wasn't used to eating. And so I remember my grandmother saying, you know, stock up, Davy boy, go ahead, fill your plate up, get what you want. And as soon as Grandma left the room, my mother smacked my hand and said, put that down, you're not eating that stuff. And I never forgot that. But I think my mother was just plain particular about who she ate after more than anything else. But there are some foods that really aren't too good for you, are they?
That's right. Absolutely.
And so we've got to watch the high saturated fat foods. Now, let me ask you another question while we're talking about it. What is the difference between something that's got a lot of saturated fat in it and something without saturated fat, non-saturated fat?
Because the saturated fat is going to have more of a tendency to develop like a gel. Because if you look at certain oils, if you put it in the refrigerator, you'll see it'll just cake up. Like butter.
Okay.
All right. Which is not good.
All right.
At all.
Okay. So that's an indication of what it could be doing inside your
arteries.
Your body and your
yes.
arteries.
Yeah. Yes. And when you do not exercise, because when you exercise, you're creating a greater flow of blood.
Okay.
That's why it's so critical. And I believe that young people can eat these type of foods and get away with that at a young age.
Right.
Because of how active they are.
Okay. All right.
So I think that older people could do that as well, but not take in as much. But if they exercise, it would be able to clean out the arteries and not allow them to clog up.
Okay. All right. So you won't need a Roto-Rooter job when you're a little old. Okay. Coach H, let me ask you another question along the same lines. There are many people who are older, and maybe they haven't been exercising regularly. And I've been working out with you now for almost a year and a half, doing circuit training, lifting weights, and it's made a tremendous difference in me physically. I feel better. Not that I felt bad. I didn't. But I do still feel better than I did. I've lost six or seven inches off my waist. I've sculpted my body a little differently than it has been used to before. I have more energy. I'm more fit now at my age than I was 25 years ago. And I want to thank you for taking the time to work with me along those lines. But what would you recommend? And there again, I'm sure before anybody starts any kind of physical regimen or exercise regimen, they should consult with their physician
and
make sure they don't injure themselves. But for an older person, what kind of exercise would you recommend for somebody who maybe is in their 50s or 60s or even 70s?
Well, you know, I would recommend that they would start out very moderately with walking, just gradually walking. And also, it really depend on what they really want to do with their bodies. Like I said earlier.
Right.
It's, you know, that will really determine what they're capable of doing, and also their attitude toward what they're going to do is vital.
Okay. All right, that's good.
So there are many exercises they could do with very light weights that would help them, you know, because I do recommend that just because you're older, that doesn't mean you can't exercise with weights.
Okay.
Yeah, because they would help an older person just as well as it does a young person.
Okay, all right. So, but there again, don't overdo it, and and do it moderately. Take it easy.
That's
now,
right.
When somebody's exercising, you know, how do you know when you've gotten enough exercise? I mean, what are you looking for? What are you trying to achieve? Just break a sweat or get the heart rate up? Or what are your goals when you're exercising?
Well, from my experience of studying manuals and going to clinics when I was at Cathedral Prep for 23 years, they recommend starting off with from 5 to 8 reps. And if you want to develop more of a cardiovascular type workout with weights, so you want to increase those repetitions to 15 to 20. And after you've done 2 or 3 sets, that third set, what you want to do is you want to go to fail, because you really want to challenge yourself a little bit.
Okay. All right. So it doesn't have to be a large amount of weight, but just it's the repetition.
Yes.
That will help you tone muscles,
right,
and get the heart rate up. Okay. Coach H, what else would you recommend besides exercise, besides watching what you eat? What else would you recommend as a practical way, from a practical standpoint, to maintain your health and healing?
Outside of exercising and taking vitamins and eating right, I recommend that everyone to take some special time to read the Word of God, because the writer of Proverbs says in chapter 4, "My son, give attention to my word. Incline your ear to my saying. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh." And that's from Proverbs 4, verse 20 through 22. And I'm a firm believer in that, Pastor Bill, because I share that with young men that I coach today.
Yeah, that's good. And that is a scripture that we've used time and time again in this series called Healing and Health, Living Long and Living Strong. And that is simply that God's Word literally can affect you physically as a healing in a cure if you'll give attention to it. And I know that often when you set out a workout routine with young guys, you often give them a scripture to go with it.
That's right.
Why do you do that?
Well, it's part of my personality as a coach.
Yes.
I cannot coach young men without sharing my faith with young men. That's just part. That's me.
Yes.
So, I think that's a good thing, and everyone that I've been involved with has accepted that.
Yes, that's good.
And I thank God for that.
Yeah, amen. Well, we thank God for you. And I tell you, I often say this to people. There's a Godward side and a manward side, or a natural side, to everything that we have to do in life. God won't do things without us, and we can't do anything without God. But both of us working together, you know, the scripture says in the New Testament, we are co-laborers with him. So we're working together. When Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit coming into his ministry on the earth, he said, I'll send you another comforter. That word comforter, parakletos, means helper, one called alongside to help. So with regard to healing and health and living a long life and being strong so you can fulfill your purpose on the earth, there's a natural side that we all have to do. And I'm often discouraged, especially knowing what I know about the New Testament, as far as how we're supposed to glorify God in our bodies, when I see people who represent the kingdom of God, represent Jesus Christ, but yet physically they don't take care of themselves. You know what I mean. I mean, they balloon up to 400 or 500 pounds, and then they wonder why they have health problems. And, you know, and I don't mean this to sound cruel or harsh in any way, but, you know, Coach H, you don't get that big by accident.
That's right.
You got to work at that.
That's right.
And I think many times it's from too many fried chicken dinners and some of the other stuff we eat. Now, I'll share a brief story. I mentioned early on in the series, and this is probably 10 weeks ago, that years ago I was sitting with some ministers, and they tried to convince me that it was a sin to play sports because the Bible said, come out from among them and be ye separate, you know. And I challenged them to show me any place in the Bible where it says it's a sin to play basketball and do some other things. Well, they couldn't. And my father-in-law, Elder Fletcher Carr, obviously didn't agree with that. All his sons were involved in athletics, and some of them were world-class athletes. And so I asked him about it one day, and he said this to me. He said, well, I consider it nothing more than physical fitness, and I'd rather have my boys involved in physical fitness than running the streets. And I think back now to those ministers who challenged me years ago about me playing basketball. Unfortunately, those men aren't here today. They died years ago. And it's sad. It's unfortunate. But I think when we study the scripture in light of what God has revealed to us in the New Testament, we can enjoy life. We can have fun. We can stay fit. We can glorify God in our bodies. And there's nothing sinful about athletic activity at all, is there?
That's right.
And I think really, in reality, there's something sinful about the opposite. But anyway, that's all the time we have today. Coach Heidelberg, thank you for coming on the broadcast this morning.
I'm happy to be here.
Amen.